And it has to do, Smith was asked about transfers, and last year there were over 800 Division I players who transferred last year. And Smith had this to say. Kids have a lot of options nowadays with the new NCAA regulations. Guys can transfer whenever they want. You mentioned we had over 800 Division I players transfer last year. We're teaching them how to quit. That's what we're doing. Things not going well? Let's quit. Somebody needs to tell them you made a commitment. Excuse me. Stick to it. But it doesn't happen like that. They have a lot of people in their ear. That's the way life is. I can't say I disagree with him.
I mean, the thing here is that it sounds like a good sentiment. You don't want to teach somebody to quit. You know, as a kid, my parents told me this: if you start something, you're going to finish it, even if you don't like it. You're not going to quit. And so the sentiment behind what he's saying is agreeable. But my biggest issue with it is just how hypocritical it is. He, from what I understand about Tubby Smith, he quit a job at Tulsa early in his career to go to Georgia, and then after that quit a job at Texas Tech to end up at Memphis. And he's also got five players on his roster who transferred in from another school.
There is that, yeah.
And so, you know, it's I have a hard time. You know, spare me, Tubby Smith. Please just save all that, because it's – you know, if you really didn't want to do that, you wouldn't have all those transfers. And you know, if you don't want to be teaching players to quit, then you know, you as the coach, you shouldn't be quitting and jumping around from school to school either.
It does go both ways, no doubt.
Very much so. And so I saw his comments, and I hate when people do this where the sentiment sounds good, but it's just so hypocritical. It's so transparent that he's just I don't know what he's doing. I don't exactly know what he's trying to get at.
I think quitting is maybe a sort of a strong word.
Yeah, very much so.
But, I mean, you're a player your sophomore year. Did Clayton Custer quit? He wasn't seeing much playing time at Iowa State. He decides to transfer to Loyola. He's a player of the year in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's carved out a nice career there. Going to go to the NCAA tournament? Did he quit? Or did he look for a better opportunity? I think everybody's situation's different. To me, it looked like Custer saw the writing on the wall and said, well, I'm going to go somewhere else where I can get some more playing time, finish out my career, maybe pretty strong, and feel good about it.
Yeah, and we got a text from 8650. Where Tubby Smith claims that he's moved around because of his life situations at various times. But then they go on to make the point, you know, like the students and or athletes aren't transferring to better their own situations. So, you know, Tubby Smith said himself he moved because he was looking for a better situation. So it's like you said, quitting is a little bit of a strong word. It's not like these guys are giving up basketball altogether. They're just looking for a better situation.
Mm-hmm. Van on the text line, sorry guys, three things I don't and won't do. Watch The Bachelor, watch the NBA All-Star Game, or listen to Stephen A. I'm telling you what, it's going to be good. You agree with Tubby Smith or not? 319-366-1600. Are players quitting? Somewhat related. We've posed a poll question today at kgymradio.com. Should basketball players who go undrafted by the NBA be allowed to return to school? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. That's a good question. I mean, right now there's an NBA combine. Test their water. Peter Jock did it. And come back. But once you declare, hire an agent, you can't come back. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is right now. And I believe that the poll question comes from Steve Kerr was making made some comments today about how I believe he was saying that even if a player goes through the entire process, is eligible for the draft on draft day, and the draft comes and goes and they didn't get picked, I believe that he's saying that they should be allowed to go back to their school if they so desire. And I kind of, you know...
If they don't hire an agent.
Right. And I'll actually have to double check on that. Either way, though, I kind of like... I like the idea a little bit because, you know, especially if the system is designed to do what's best for the kids, then if they decide to leave school because they think that they have a better opportunity to go straight to the NBA and that doesn't work, you're just going to leave them out to dry, not doing anything, go ahead and let them come back to school. Try again. That would be what's best for the student athlete.
Two notes before we get to Scott Docterman of the Land of 10. Listener wanted to have us give a birthday shout out to Royce Alger, former NCAA champion at Iowa. He's 53. I mean, that makes, I remember covering Royce. Happy birthday, Royce Alger, one of the greats in Iowa history. Ed Hockley, retiring. How about that?
It's the end of an era.
29 years in the NFL as an official. Most noted for his arms rather than any call he ever made.
Definitely.
And 20 years ago today, the Big Lebowski debuted. Are you a fan? Have you seen it?
I've seen it actually two or three times, but for whatever reason, it never really resonated with me. I do recall some of the one-liners, but the movie itself really just didn't grab me.
It's a cult classic. Yeah. It has become that. I admittedly had to watch it a couple times to really appreciate it, and that's true of a lot of movies.
Yeah,
you don't get it the first time, you miss something, and come back and watch it a second time, and it's a little bit better. You understand it a little bit more. That was me and the Big Lebowski, but always loved John Goodman. Goodman was great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. We need to get to Scott Docterman, talk some football and basketball next on the Gym Class.
You guys want to do it? Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Dr. Pepper Schnapple Group is filling Cedar Rapids area positions for delivery drivers and driver trainees. Delivery driver applicants must hold or be able to obtain a Class A CDL during the training period. You can make a competitive wage. We are offering a hiring bonus for Class A certified CDL holders. Dr. Pepper Schnapple Group is also hiring full-time merchandisers to provide merchandising support to retail stores. Apply online or get more information at dpsg.com/careers. Put your hard work and innovation to work and get rewarded for it with Dr. Pepper Schnapple Group, an equal opportunity employer.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Welcome back. Coming up on 327 and weather improving. At this time yesterday, we were in a snow squall and accumulations weren't tremendous around here, but looks like things have tapered off, if not ended, and we're on the backside, hopefully, of a run towards spring. Local programming tonight, 6:15 on 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM. It'll be live coverage of the 4A quarterfinal matchup between Iowa City West, the number one seed, and Muscatine, the number eight seed, featuring Joe Wieskamp, the Iowa recruit. And at 7 p.m. on 1600 a.m., an NBA matchup between Houston and Oklahoma City. On the text line, Ryan from Walford commenting about our poll question. Yes, they should, parentheses, be allowed to return. Why put a restriction on kids trying to make a better life? It shouldn't be an ultimatum when you're talking about you and your family's future. With that, let's bring in our friend Scott Docterman, formerly of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, now with the Land of Ten. And Scott, good afternoon.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Very well, very well. You're back in town.
Yeah, it's it felt like I was gone for about a month. It was kind of funny when Mark Morehouse and I rode over together, and I think when we were leaving on Sunday, I go, you remember a month ago when we first took off, which was last Tuesday? So, yeah, I'm glad to be back in town after quite a long time in Indianapolis.
I know you tweeted about this. Doesn't Morehouse look like the Bears head coach and vice versa?
They're doppelgangers. Yeah, Matt Nagy and Mark Morehouse, which is funny for, you know, his rooting interest isn't quite aligned with Mark and I. You and I are rooting interest, so I thought that was kind of funny to take that picture of that press conference between, you know, Mark and Matt Nagy.
For folks who have never been, how would you describe the NFL Combine?
Boy, it's really a different atmosphere. It's almost two different events going on at the same time, or at least one right after the other. The first one is like the first full day is nothing really but GMs and coaches for the NFL teams. And there's eight different podiums. And, you know, the coaches and GMs just kind of rotate through, usually about two or three of them at a time at different podiums every 15 minutes or so. But when you get the players there, which in our case would have been Thursday through Sunday, all eight podiums are filled up. Sometimes, you know, they have tables, you know, for eight different tables for different players. And in fact, it was kind of wild. I want to say Saturday, one of the tables had three different Wisconsin linebackers on it. So you really had no room to move. And you'd ask one a question and you'd turn to the other one. But it gets really packed. I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley on Thursday was, you know, there was, you know, probably 200 people, 200 reporters wrapped around him and his podium. And, you know, and other people had, you know, less than that. But it certainly was, you know, it's definitely a wild event, no doubt about it.
Let's run down the Iowa guys and your observations. And I know you wrote about this at the Land of Ten, but starting with Josh Jackson, a surefire first rounder, everyone thought he needed to run under 4.5. In the 40, he did on one attempt, did not on the second. And it just struck me, all of a sudden, the guy's a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I think he's really close there. I think he's got a really good chance. Yeah, his first attempt, he was like 4.49. Then they changed it to like 4.56. So that was kind of weird. But you know what? Teams, they look at this stuff, they want it to validate certain things or add it to the discussion, but that's not the reason why anybody would or wouldn't draft, you know, him. And now if he ran a 5.0 flat, that, you know, that'd be different. But, you know, he handles himself with a lot of class and the way he discusses things. So I'm sure he did really well in his personal interviews. And, you know, one team that I really watched out for with him is actually the Bears. You know, at the Iowa-Wisconsin game, Ryan Pace was in the press box, just a couple seats over from where we sat. And, you know, and then they had a formal interview with Josh Jackson, and there's a need there in Chicago at corner, and they're picking number eight. So I think, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, whether he's a corner or safety or a hybrid of sorts, will probably be the first defensive back selected. But after that, I think it's a matter of your preference with Josh Jackson or Denzel Ward from Ohio State. And don't forget, Josh Jackson did bench press 225 pounds 18 times, which is quite a bit for a corner, which shows that he can press, you know, getting man press and, you know, with his long arms. I mean, he could be a real, you know, real tough defender. You know, he didn't play that a lot at Iowa, but he certainly can at the next level.
James Daniels seemed to impress a lot of people in some of his drills. Did you pick up how was the buzz around Daniels in Indianapolis?
It's really high. I mean, you know, and I think all of us who watched him and watched him last year may be a little bit surprised, and maybe we didn't watch him close enough because most of the tape does show that he was really, really good. A few times he got beaten, but most of the time he won his blocks. And so the buzz is, you know, hey, this guy's young. He's 20 years old, so he's still growing. He's still going to get better. Very mature for his age, of course. And but, you know, he's so quick and agile and really gets to different spots and can get to that second level. And most of the teams are talking about him as an interior type player. You know, really outside of Notre Dame's Quentin Nelson, it's between him and Ohio State's Billy Price as the who's the next best interior lineman. And the one thing that's, you know, and then Billy Price partially tore his pec muscle bench pressing the other day in Indianapolis. So I think James Daniels could creak into the top 20, but he's definitely going to go in the first round. I mean, he's really vaulted himself up there. And he, you know, if he stays healthy, he'll be a good player for a long, long time.
Josie Jewell, I think, ran his 40-yard dash right around 4.8, which is, you know, good but not great. But he did stellar, top of his position group in some of the quickness drills. Do you think he's played himself up into closer to maybe the second round or so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, he was most, you know, and it's hard to really gauge the mock drafts per se. I mean, I don't take much weight in those other than where some people have them slotted, but he was kind of considered right around the early third round anyway. And yeah, his straight ahead speed was not good when compared to most of the people in his group, but then you look at his agility drills and they're off the charts. I mean, he won the 60-yard shuffle, he won the second in the three cone drill. It was one of the best times in the last 5 years. And that's what linebackers do, you know, especially inside linebackers, is work within the tackles, trying to break, blocks down and get in and get direct hits. And he did a really good job of, you know, of that type of speed. And plus the tape doesn't lie. I mean, that's the thing, you know, we can all evaluate and overanalyze what goes on in these different drills. But, you know, with Josie Jewell, it's like confirmation. Okay, this guy's quick when he needs to be. So, you know, one team that kind of stood out for me, and I kind of did my own little projections, was the Detroit Lions. I thought he fits that type of scheme, you know, that Matt Patricia, the former New England Patriots defensive coordinator, has. And they had a formal interview with him. The Cowboys and the Lions both had formals, which shows that they have interest in him. Now, you know, what does that mean? I don't know. But I will say, I think he's played himself into that second round discussion. Certainly will be gone by sometime that Friday night. You know, kind of the way Pat Angerer did. Pat was kind of considered a little too small, but then he became a second rounder. So I think Josie Jewell is in great shape to be a potential second round pick. And that could be pretty interesting. Three guys for Iowa in the first two rounds of the upcoming draft.
Talking with Scott Docterman of the Land of 10 today in the Gym Class 335. Two other Hawkeyes that stand to hear their names called, Sean Welsh and Akram Wadley. Let's take Welsh first. I know he had to address what he did at the beginning of last year and at times throughout the year, the depression issues that he dealt with, but he seems to handle that so well. When I think of Welsh, two words, solid and versatile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that's what he's kind of telling all the teams. I think he said he met with 10 different teams by the time we talked to him. Either formally or informally. And, you know, what he had 48 career starts at Iowa, was just, only missed one game because of injury, and that was North Dakota State in 2016. Played both guard spots, started, you know, I think double-digit games at both of them. Played some right tackle, started there a handful of times. Also worked in at center in the spring of 2016 after Austin Blythe left. So, you know, he's versatile, he's dependable, he's solid, he's tough. He's not overly big for his size, but has great hands. And as Josie Jewell says, he's got the grip of a bear. And he's been in that offense. And, you know, and if you can block in that scheme, you automatically know how that translates to the NFL. So, you know, he's a guy, he's a high-character guy. He told everybody, kind of gave them, you know, information about, you know, his depression. You know, that's also something that will resonate in today's world. You know, I mean, teams want – guys who, you know, care about more than just the game. And, you know, and so he's got a, you know, PR edge to him that will be very helpful. So I think he's probably in that fourth round range, you know, probably one of the 10 best guards per se. But, you know, hey, you know, if you're a team, you look at him and say, you know what, if at worst he's going to be a rotational guy and possibly walk in the day and know how to start. And it's just a matter of probably bulking him up just a little bit so he can make sure he can stay at that position for a long time.
Iowa running back Akram Wadley, the pluses and minuses on him.
Well, you know, he finally got over 190 pounds, which I'm sure, you know, Kirk had champagne corks popping in Iowa City. But, you know, he ran a 4.54, which was tied for ninth in the 40. You know, he's just, you know, that position group in some ways has been devalued over the years. And Saquon Barkley is off the charts. I kind of, honestly, my comp with him and in talking to other people, the only person I think that has his types of skill set, and I'm going way back, Mark, and that's Walter Payton.
Oh, wow.
I think he's in that category and skill set. So Akram doesn't have that, obviously. But he is a playmaker. He's probably not an every down back, which knocks him down a few pegs as well. I think he's probably mid rounds, you know, fourth at the highest, probably sixth, fifth or sixth, just because, hey, you know, most teams feel like they can find a guy just like him anywhere. And so if you got the, you know, a lineman that's valued more, well, you'd get another running back in the sixth round. And we've seen all these free agent running backs that go in and play hard and do well. So I think that's going to knock him down some. But, you know, he's made a lot of plays, you know, 2,000-yard seasons. That carries a lot of weight. The tape's good on him. You know, very, very quick. I think he'll definitely get drafted. It just probably be later than what he wanted or expects.
You talk about how the running back position's sort of been devalued over the last 5 to 10 years at least. But Wadley's a little bit more of the modern type running back. How do you think his skills as a pass catcher work to his benefit here?
He'll be great. I mean, you know, he can catch the ball in space, and if he's in space, as we've seen in some of his best games were against NFL caliber defenses, Michigan in 2016, you know, or Penn State and Ohio State last year, he made a lot of players who were going to make some money, you know, miss a lot of times. So he'll be fine in that situation. You know, but I just don't know that he could be a 20 carry guy. He's just, I'm not sure he's big enough. So, you know, the ideal situation for him to me would be somewhere like, say, the Dallas Cowboys or Los Angeles Rams, where they've already got an Ezekiel Elliott or they've already got a, you know, Todd Gurley. And so they want somebody who can siphon off a few carries and then also be able to be available in the passing game, you know, possibly in the slot, certainly on third down situations, or, you know, the NFL is such a sub package league anyway, third down situations, a lot of times are on first down. So, you know, I think that's what will help him long-term. I think he'll be, you know, it's just a matter of all, you know, the running back position, you feel like you can grab somebody in the sixth round who can play like a second rounder and, you know, or free agents are that way too. So, you know, you look at Justin Jackson from Northwestern. I mean, he was really good in just about every category, but I don't know that he's going to last. You know, I mean, he might be a fourth-round type of pick just because even though his production was tremendous and his numbers are great, it's just, you know, other positions have a little more value for some of these guys.
I'm going to be real interested to see what happens with Alan Lazard, a decorated wide receiver at Iowa State. Set all kinds of records, decided to come back for his senior year. It ended with a bowl victory. He had a big game there. A little bit of talk of him, maybe a team or two testing at tight end. What do you think is going to happen with Lazard?
I think he tested so well there the other day that I think he's putting himself in that, you know, category of, you know, third round, second round, something like that. You know, I mean, it's, everybody sees his height and they know, you know, and his size. And yeah, they've discussed a little bit of the tight end, but it's more about tight end, I think, in the wider, in the passing schemes, you know, maybe running more seam routes and stuff. But I mean, you know, he had really good speed the other day. I mean, it was really, you know, a strong 40 for him. He was, you know, and Lazard's character is, you know, like Jules or anybody else. I mean, just tremendous. I mean, you know, you talk to him. You know, I did a story on our, you know, sister site, Die Hard's Big 12, on Alan Lazard. And he's just, you know, he's a likable guy, good character, you know, tested well, good speed, great hands, you know, taller. You know, in his case, you know, what's funny about these wide receivers are in the draft, there's only been about one that's hit the last 3 or 4 years in the first round. But a lot of the second, third, and fourth rounders are the ones that are stars or at least, you know, productive. And I think Alan Lazard fits that category. I'd kind of be surprised if he got to Saturday. I just think that his size and his hands and his speed and his character and his production show this guy is valuable. And his size is at 6'5". He can line up against most corners and you can throw jump balls. So I think somebody probably takes him in the second or third round.
Did Joel Lanning not get invited or did he decline? The reason I ask is I think that's a guy can help an NFL team.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. Nobody really declines an invite to the combine. I mean, you know, the Senior Bowl is one thing because you actually got to play. This one, you can decline certain drills, but you never want to decline those meetings. And so I was really surprised he didn't get invited, or Jake Campos from Iowa State. I thought both of them have, you know, some value. You know, Campos is a longtime starter, of course, at tackle, and Lanning, I think, at linebacker has really developed. Last year, he was one of the better ones in the country in a very quick period of time. So I was surprised he didn't get the invitation. But, you know, people know who he is, and I'm sure, you know, at his pro day, he'll get that chance to test. And the one thing that might actually pay off for him is that, you know, if you don't go to the combine, people will really want to invest some time in you and make sure they don't miss you. So that's where a lot of those campus or the team visits take place, you know, and later on in April that they try to find guys that they didn't talk to already. So I can see Joel Lanning and maybe to a lesser extent Jake Campos getting a lot of those team visits.
Well, the darling of the combine had to be Shaq Griffin. What did you see out of him?
Yeah, what an impressive specimen. I mean, running 4.38 as an outside linebacker. I mean, that's, you know, if, you know, I think people are going to really look and see what he can do, you know, one-handed, which he's very productive, of course. And, you know, but 20, you know, reps with the, you know, 225 and have that kind of speed. I mean, that's superstar material, you know, from a physical standpoint. And I think, you know, it was just kind of that story that everybody was like, wow, this is really impressive. And you hope that people don't bypass him because of the, you know, not having a hand. But I think he's his numbers are so good that people have to pay attention to him. I think he's probably in that second to third round range now that somebody's going to say, you know what, let's see what he can do. And, you know, and on the defensive side of things, you might be able to make it work. Because, you know, one interesting side note is I remember it was a while ago. I don't know if you remember Trace Armstrong played for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
One person asked him what happened. What did happen in football that he can't do anymore? And he said, I can't pick change off a table because his fingers have been mashed up so bad. And so, you know, in some ways you think about it and it's like, well, there's not a lot of difference there. So I would say between him and Barkley, those were the two that really made the combine hum.
About a minute left here, but I did want to ask you about Tyler Cook. Gave some kind of vague answers after the loss to Michigan about whether he would return to Iowa. What do you think?
No, I listening to those answers just pretty much told me, you know, and what I've kind of known. I mean, I don't think he's going to be back. That just sounds to me like a guy who, you know, I guess it's good for him that he didn't lie. He didn't sit there and say, oh yeah, I'm going to be back. And then in 2 or 3 weeks, you know, leave. I imagine what'll happen with him is he'll declare for the NBA draft and go through the whole process. And it's hard to say how he'll match up. I mean, his raw athletic ability is good. It's probably in the draft discussion. You know, is he refined enough? I don't know. I don't think so. But, you know, I'm not an evaluator either. So I'm just interested in what happens at the end. What happens when they tell him, you know, you probably should go back to school. You're probably not going to get drafted. Or if it will be, it'll be very, very late. Does he decide, you know what, I'm going to do this anyway and go to the G League and play? Or is he going to come back to Iowa, which sounds like he's just not really interested in, or go to another school and sit out a year, which would be really dumb in my opinion. But that's not my life. So I guess I would say things just don't sound really good. I mean, it just sounds like to me that he wants to go. And you know, I think the pro circuit is probably where he ends up.
Scott, got to run, but really appreciate the time you've given us talking football and a little bit of basketball. Keep up the great work, Atlanta 10.
All right, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the time.
You bet, Scott. Scott Docterman, Land of 10, joining us on the Gym Class. Need to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Scott Unas live in Des Moines.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $5 fill-ups. Now, some people are saying that I'm just Reba McEntire and that KFC has paid me to be the Colonel. But if that were true, how would I know my $5 fill-ups are full of a lot of delicious food? How would I know that you can get a real meal with two pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, cookie, and a drink for just $5? It's not like I could just read it off a script designed to make you hungry. Or could I? KFC. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
My neighbors always ask me, hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is four easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
Attention shoppers, cleanup on aisle 14. Cleanup on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Welcome back, Kyle Mann, sitting in for Scott Unash. He is getting on the phone to said Unash as we speak, live from Des Moines. And we're going to talk to Scott about what's happened today and what's going to happen tonight at the Boys State Basketball Tournament. Cascade already a winner. Xavier a winner over Marion, and tonight Iowa City West and Muscatine, and a much anticipated matchup between West with Patrick McCaffrey Jr. headed to Iowa, and Joe Wieskamp, the Class 4A all-time scoring leader for Muscatine. So Scott Unash will be on that call at 6:15. Right now, we'd like to give you an opportunity to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina. La Cantina invites you to watch tournament action with a bowl of chips and salsa and hot sizzling meal at any of the three locations. Right now, we'll take caller six to win that La Cantina gift card. In the meantime, I want to welcome back our long-lost friend, Scott Unash. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? I'd take some chips and salsa right
Yeah,
now.
That sounds good, doesn't it? I'll tell you what, you had a dandy this morning and early afternoon with Xavier and Marion. Marion, a gallant effort, and Matt Mims was terrific.
Yeah, it was. Matt Mims had 32 today, and which Brad Jones says is an all-time tournament record for Xavier, beating Kevin Andrews' 29, I think he said was earlier on. But that was Xavier jumped out 9-0, and it looked like they were on cruise control, but Marion kept coming back and coming back, and every time Xavier got a 5 or 6 point lead, here comes the Indians, and to their credit, they didn't go away, played really hard, and nothing to hang their heads about. I know that Mike Manor died disappointed, but he still was very proud of his Indians today.
Yeah, we talked earlier about Manderside's decision to put J.D. Graw in the game at the end. Describe what you saw there.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, J.D. Came in there at the end. And Marion folks, know his story and special needs individual. And they always kind of an inspiration to that Marion team. And credit to the Marion kids, credit to the Xavier kids as well. And he went in there and, you know, some people said he was padding his stats a little bit. You know, he missed the first two, got offensive rebounds, And then he got a putback there at the buzzer to make it 67-60. But, yeah, you know, he got 10 seconds to play and 2 points and 3 offensive rebounds. That looks good.
Well, Ryan Luzman and the Xavier coach must have known this was coming, too, or possibility.
Yeah, I think they talked about it before the game. If the possibility came at the end, that they wanted to get JD a shot at it. And, you know, credit his teammates, too, because, you know, they're going in there and they've got one chance to play the state tournament for the most part. And, you know, they wanted to have their classmate have the spotlight on him. So, and he got the bucket. So that was the best part about that story.
Cool moment. Scott Unash live in Des Moines at the Boys State Basketball Tournament tonight. We know Muscatine's going to bring a ton of people. Joel and Muscatine said 6 busloads at least of students. And this is a 1-8. How are you looking at this game?
Well, you know, West is the heavy favorite. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, West being the defending champion, being the number one seed, being the MVC champion. West hasn't played their best basketball in the tournament, though. I think Steve Bergman be the first one to tell you that. Upsets can happen, and if Muscatine hangs in early, if Joe Wieskamp gets going, I think, you know, they have a healthy shot at it. It's going to come down to the periphery people for Muscatine, like it did against Lindmark. They had two of their guys. Joe Wieskamp does 60 to 65% of the shooting and scoring on that team, and they got a 4-point play and a 3-point play at the end from two of their players that don't score a whole lot, and that's what sunk Lindmar in the end. And those guys hang in there, and Wieskamp gets going early. They got a shot, but West is going to try their best not to let that happen. And West is due a big game, I think, to break out here. I'm not going to say they're in a slump or anything, but they haven't had their A game yet as far as the tournament is concerned, and I think Steve Bergman is looking for that tonight.
And we know Patrick McCaffrey packed both shoes, too.
He's got both shoes. Yeah, we were kind of kidding around about that earlier on, that if he didn't have both shoes, he's in trouble tonight, because Joe's going to need the shoes, too. And they're expecting a big, big crowd, like you said, here tonight. Bad big crowds all through the day today. So that's great to see down here. And a lot of good individuals who display the talent. We got a upset brewing right now. It's Waverly Shellrock leading Mount Pleasant by 9 with 4.5 to play in the ballgame.
Mm. Well, tomorrow you're going to be in Des Moines as well. North Lynn, that train tries to keep rolling against Don Bosco, right?
Yeah, two teams pretty similar. Don Bosco plays a lot like North Lynn, kind of perimeter-oriented, two good guards, two real good lead guards anyway, and they do a little bit of pressure, not as much as North Lynn, but they kind of cause offense off defense, so should be kind of looking in the mirror as far as North Lynn is concerned. But chance to redeem themselves. They lost the semis last year, and they want to take that next step.
Scott, looking back down at 3A, I understand Glenwood pulled off a 20-point comeback against Norwalk. Did you catch any of that game?
I did, and Norwalk's got two really good guards, Mike Bourne, kid, and then young man by the name of Vasky, and they had their way. Of course, when you shoot 67% in the attack, you look good.
Yeah.
But they didn't guard very well, Glenwood. And then they decided they were going to guard in the second half and shut down those two guys and started making some shots. They are they like to get up and down. They average almost 80 points a game, and they have not seen a three-pointer that they have never not liked. So they can beat anybody, or they probably, if they're having an off night, can lose to anybody. But they get Xavier next, so we'll see. Matt Mims had a real good game today, like we started off with, and I think he's got a favorable matchup in that one.
Well, over the last 2 weeks, you've gotten to know every bump and exit on I-80 as if you didn't already.
Yeah, and it wasn't that bad on the drive down this morning. I was hoping it wasn't going to be, and Mother Nature came through for us. But we'll stay down here tonight and get hunkered down for North Lynn coming up tomorrow.
Sounds good, Dave, my friend. We'll see you. I don't know. Maybe next week. I don't. We'll see how these games pan out.
Maybe it's BNA. I have no idea.
Could be. I don't know. I will text you results tomorrow night, okay?
All right. I appreciate that.
All right. Hey, have a great call tonight and then again tomorrow and the rest of the week, Scott.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Scott Unash live from Des Moines as he wraps up what has happened and what will happen tonight at the state tournament. Again, that call starts at 6:15 on our FMs, 1600 AM. We'll have Houston, Oklahoma City, an NBA game at 7 o'clock. So we're going to wrap it up here in the next few seconds. Appreciate Scott Dockerman of the Land of 10 coming on with us. Thanks to Kyle Mann once again for sitting in with Scott. Imagine you would be in that seat another couple days.
Probably most of the week from the sounds of it.
And let's not forget, folks, After the Final Rose is tonight. I'm going to shut down the text line because I know I'm going to get a couple comments. That's okay. It'll be over soon.
You're just more comfortable with it.
And so will Ari Leyendijk Jr.'s career. Period.
I saw somebody say he's worse at being the bachelor than he was at being a race car driver.
And that's pretty bad. Tomorrow, Mark Ironside on the show. David Hyatt, new president of Iowa Speedway, and a Bowling Night in America preview. Yep, tomorrow on the Gym Class.
A tree is a thing of beauty until it ends up on your house, car, or head.
Out!
Unfortunately, all trees die, and when they do, they fall on your house, car, and head.
We need a medic!
That's where Frank's Tree Service comes.